Hey, welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, October 1st, 2022. This is the show where we play highlights of the Adam Carolla Show. Welcome. My name is Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday.
And happy October. We're excited for these clips that we have lined up for you. First off, I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a clip request, it's real easy. Just shoot us an email, classics@adamcarolla.com is where you send it to. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and just let us know what you want to hear any moment from the entire pantheon of podcast history. And we'll see if we can find it. All right. Let's get going with our first clip. This is from a Dr. Drew bonus show. We used to do these extra shows, just Adam and Drew. And this is predating the Adam and Dr. Drew show. But you got to have Drew on to talk some statutory rock, right?
Indeed. Yeah, these are almost test pilots for what became the Adam and Drew show, which has its own versions of classics hosted by Gary without me. Huh, Gary? It's Adam Carolla Show 897. It's Dr. Drew bonus show number 6. This one's from August of 2012. This is one of the funniest statutory rock breakdowns ever done. We've played it before. It's a gem. Hope you guys enjoy.
There's certain things that, for instance, I always say this, like dogs, you know, before they lay down, they turn in a circle for a while and then they lay down. And you're like, why are you doing that? Because you're on fucking Berber carpet and you're upstairs and there's central air. And it's like, well, that's what their instincts are. You know, that's just what they do.
Right.
And we understand that with all animals, domesticated animals.
Yeah.
We've become domesticated.
Yeah.
But
so we still do the circling.
We still, there's an element of us that wants to go out and do whatever we want to go out and do, but we've realized we've been domesticated.
Okay.
But there's this thing, and I think this is the new version of going out and humping and gathering, as I always like to kid. But
the porn.
Is I'm going to go off into this next room. Now, it used to be I'm going to the wilderness. Now, well, I'm going down the hall, and I'm going to look at somebody else fuck, and I'm going to beat my meat. And that is my turning around before I lay down on the Berber carpet. That's the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know what you're saying.
That's as much as, look, and listen, ladies, if this is his version of being a lone wolf, you know, so be it. Give him a little of that space.
It may be a net positive, too, because if you really sort of look at where that impulse used to go, it would go to the whorehouses. It would go to the bars
I'm
with
going
their buddies.
To town. I'm they'd going go, into I, town.
They'd go act out. And what do they act out? They do aggressive things
that's
out
right.
in the world.
Every third song was written about rambling.
Yeah. Now they ramble on the internet. They ramble out in cyberspace.
I got to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was about, like, physically moving on. I bet
there's a lot less of weird ass going on when guys travel.
I was just listening to the song, I don't know, We Made Love in My Chevy Van. Song, such a horrible song, speaking of the 70s. But the guy did this thing where it's like, we made love in my Chevy van. And then he went and dropped her back off. And they basically picked up a runaway, fucked her, and then dropped her back off in town. And it's basically a song.
Yeah, well, the sort 70s.
Of, and then there was this 70s. Thing where it's like, next time he comes through town, maybe he'll fuck her again. It's kind of like, I love the songs. Like, I got to be going. I got to fire up my Chevy van.
This is the song?
No, it's another song.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon.
Sammy Johns. Two first names.
I mean, they would talk about these horrible, horrible behaviors as though they were...
Oh, just listen. That's by the way, him putting a quaalude in her Mickey's Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you listen to the part of the song where he drops her off barefoot back in town. Like he'd raped her in the woods.
This is the Chevy van. This is it.
I know, I'm fucking with you. Yeah, that's why we're playing it.
Oh, I thought maybe it was another one you made fun of.
She's young.
This literally is like a pedophile anthem.
Ah, her long legs were tan and brown.
Pedophile effing anthem.
Mm-hmm. He picked the chick up in his van. He took her to the fucking woods and he raped her.
That's exactly right.
Then he took her back to town. Just listen. Listen when he drops her off barefoot. And he's rambling, man.
Oh, God.
I always liked the before, during, and the after, too, where they go, we're going to make love in my Chevy van, and then we're making love in my Chevy van, and then we made love in my Chevy van. So it's a good part, you know? Got all the tenses in there.
Creative.
All right. Now, he talks about how small her town was. Put her out in a town. Remember, he pushed her out of the van. He put her out in the van. Now listen.
Dirt Road Main Street.
To bare feet. Yeah, I couldn't rape you again.
Well, it's a shame I won't be around because I'm a criminal now. I got to ramble.
Hey, let me tell you, when you get to your later teens, call me. I'll come back and rape you again. But I got to ramble.
It is so... But this is the S.
I like that. The line is, I put her out in a town that was so small, you could throw a rock from end to end. That's right. Mm-hmm. She was barefoot when she escaped from the van. He didn't put her out.
In the mud. In the main street without pavement.
Yeah, it's a shame he won't be passing that way again. But like I said, when he does, maybe give another raping.
We wonder why things are unraveling now. That is where it started.
Hey, man. That's made it. Love in the van.
That was the stuff that was, when we were growing up, was not just romantic. It was highly prized, valued.
Picked her up in his wagon. That's right. Dumped her off barefoot.
It's pedophilia.
He pushed her out.
Pedophilia.
Did he stop the van? Is that part clear? Or did he shove her
not
out of
clear.
The van?
Not clear.
Pushed her out of the van.
Something about keeping your eyes on the road.
That's why they have those swiveling captain's chairs, by the way. So you got to kick a 14-year-old you raped by the lake out. You don't even have to you don't have to slow down. You just turn this chair out toward the window and just kick her ass right out.
But this is, you're not using hyperbole.
Probably threw her shoes out a mile down the road.
No shoes. This is why, this is not hyperbole. This
I want to write a song
glorified.
About raping a chick by a lake. What do you got? We made love in my Chevy van.
I bet if you analyze 10% of the songs of the 70s, you'd find shit like this in there.
Well, they all had to do with, she's a little bit too young, but I fucked her anyway.
And I have to move.
I ramble.
And I got to go.
Hey, man, you never know when he's passing through that town again.
What was the matter with us as a country?
I have no idea.
Uh-oh. What is this? Get out
of my mind. Young girl. Better run. You're much too young. You're too young. It's Burton Cummings. Even his last name talks about ejaculate. Burton's coming again. Oh, this is Gary Puckett. That's right. Burton Cummings of the Union Gap, right? Or is there a Gary Puckett in the Union Gap? Where was Burton Cummings? Fuck. You kept the secret of your youth. Maybe you're 15. You led me to. You led him to believe you're old enough to give love.
I don't think this guy rested right then. He's singing about what he did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, young girl, get out of my mind.
This is the Guess Who?
My love for you. No, guess Burton Cummings was the Guess Who.
All right, got it.
This is the Union Gap.
Oh, felt much better.
Sounds like a place where racists would buy jeans. Or the Confederate Gap.
That's where they
buy the jeans. Yeah, Union Gaps. That's good. That's where black folks buy their jeans. Their jeans. You're just a baby.
Baby in disguise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And though you know it's wrong to be. Wrong to be alone with me. Listen to this. That come on look is in your eyes. Oh, young girl. Out of my mind, my love for you is way out of mind.
You know what I realized? 70 is a great time to be a pedophile and a sociopath.
Yeah, their other song is "This Girl's a Woman Now," which is a good. He made her into a woman by raping her.
Think about what a great.
And then
time.
There's "Lady Willpower" too, which is like, I'm gonna sex you down. Oh yeah,
even though you don't want to.
To your mother. I'm sure she wonders where you are. Ah! Here comes the proc. Here comes the declaration of rape right here. Out of here before I have the time to change my mind. Because he's afraid they're going, oh, yeah, I'm going to rape your ass. You don't get moving. Oh, young girl, get out of my mind. Must have been a great pitch with, like, his manager. No, no, no. I'm saying I'd like to rape a teenager. I'm not saying I raped her. I'm saying I want to, and I'm going to rape a teenager.
Gave a shit back then. You don't sociopath, pedophile. That's what we value.
Listen to me. Listen, I have a daughter as well. I'm not saying I'd like her raped.
I've seen her
in
20
years,
but anyway.
The song is about a guy who's thinking about raping a 14-year-old, but decides not to.
Oh.
Do you understand?
Oh,
big difference. Big difference there. He's saying, I'm going to rape you, but I'm tired. You understand? But he's not saying he's raped her. It's a big difference there. Number two on Billboard, by the way.
No. But yes, but people that weren't alive then cannot appreciate what we're saying.
I love that. I'm telling you, Lady Willpower is March 68, baby. Lady Willpower is great.
It got worse as the 70s came along.
Young girl and this girl.
Lady
Willpower, it's now. He's telling you, you give your love to me.
Now or never.
Yeah. Yeah. Must have been funny when Gary Puckett. Oh, you gotta listen. Yeah, it must have been funny when you were.
Get a picture of Gary Puckett up. I gotta see this guy.
Yeah.
I know you want to see me. What happened to him? Get some history, too. What really, what prison is he in now?
He's afraid of what he might have on his mind. Little girl.
You're worried about video games and violence. This was going on in the 60s and 70s. Oh, look at that. Oh.
I'll take good care of your love if you will let me give you mine.
Look
baby,
at the, look
loosen
at them.
Up.
Look.
Oh, yeah. All right. I need this girl is a woman now.
Click
that's
on
what
Gary
I need.
Puck. Click on Gary Puckett there, too.
Hold
just
on.
Click on
all
him.
Right. Just the point is this. This girl's a woman now. I just like to be a session musician. True, folks.
Sorry,
over
sorry.
Here. This girl walked in dream. She had little pigtails and stuff. Now, she's
in a world of her own.
Yeah,
yeah,
world
a
without rapists.
A sandbox.
World without statutory rapists. But now.
Existing in a playground of stone.
Yeah, literally. Literally a playground.
Overnight, her world was changed.
And the rapist showed up. I can't ever believe this shit.
Never gonna walk the same. That's right. After Gary
no
got
shit,
it.
I'll see her in the psych hospitals 10 years later.
This girl is a woman now.
Oh, she's 12. True. She's a woman now. Come on, click on Gary Puckett for me. Get his Wikipedia up there. I gotta see this.
Listen,
to know where
Drew.
He's in prison.
She's found out. Listen to this. Listen.
Learning to live.
I'd just love to be one of the session musicians where Gary Puckett and the Union Gap would like show up and they're like, all right, guys, Gary's written another song. Let me guess. Let me guess. This one about the Civil War? No, this is about the deflowering of... Oh, I'm shocked!
Just looking at Wikipedia. Resides in Florida.
I see that. Clearwater. But there was a separate Wikipedia for him.
All right, just listen to the lyrics.
No, vomit.
Child had died.
Yeah, you killed it.
He killed the child with his cock.
Yeah.
He stabbed the child. She learned how to love, bro.
Oh, this is like Taboo too. It really is. Same bullshit kind of a glorification of this crap, right?
She's found out what it's all about the hard way.
Get the Taboo 2 song up. You'll see it's the same damn yes.
All right. Hold on. Let me hear this. Okay. All right. She lived in a playground without pedophiles. And then, you know, overnight, she became a woman.
Not overnight.
in an instant.
Yeah, in an instant. Well, there you go. All right. Again,
I just thought
it'd be funny. Like,
and
Gary,
he has two stepdaughters. Oh, I can't.
Got another song? Yeah,
Taboo 2 is what we need. I mean, it's just so people can.
If you had a brother, you'd fuck him, wouldn't you?
All right, but this wasn't number 2 on the Billboard chart. He has it all right,
this is your favorite song, though.
I mean, it is a great.
A lot of young boys are suckled at the teat of this song.
It's true, but this song did not have did not enjoy the kind of common popularity
Billboard.
That Gary
was on the Billboard.
Yeah. All right.
The point is, the culture was infused with this crap in the 70s. Infused.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember when we started this conversation with your poor dad in front of his trailer.
Yeah.
In those crazy pants watering his lawn.
Uh-huh.
He was infected by all this.
Yeah. Except for he couldn't get laid, but yeah.
Yeah. But he's infected by it.
Just love the idea that Gary Puckett. I just would love the band meetings. All right. I've been writing. Let me guess. About what, Gary? Well, now, hold on. Hold on. I'm going a new direction. All right. This one is called You Haven't Started Your Period Yet. But I'm still going to fuck you in the ass. Okay. All right. Too far? Too much? What? This is my thing.
People love this
stuff.
This is
what I sing about.
People love it. I hit the Billboard with the last one about the 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Let's push the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
This one's called I Got Enough Pubes for the Both of Us. Okay? This is a... What? No, we're not writing a song about what it's like to be on the road with a hard-working band. That's done way too much.
Unless they come
across... Unless there's some statutory rape.
Playground. and a dirt road.
Phil, I'm listening. You say we stop in Baltimore and rape teens? All right? Okay. All right. All right.
Oh. Oh, my God.
That's all right. They were punished by multiple platinum records. Hey, the guy had pipes.
Our kids are going to have it so much better.
Yeah, they'll have fucking chicks screaming at fat chicks that they're beautiful.
What?
That's every fucking song is some fucking chick talking about empowering other chicks.
Nah, I'm just saying it's better now.
Nah, I call it old-fashioned, but I miss the statutory rape songs.
And that was from a Dr. Drew bonus show, the sixth one that we did back in 2012. All right, let's get going with our next clip. If we're going to keep going with classic characters from Adam's past, present, future, we got to include Jimmy Kimmel on in this episode. And Jimmy came on in November of 2009.
The Adam Carolla Show 196. This episode's been G-mastered, as Chris puts it, because it was accidentally recorded from the laptop microphone underneath the keyboard and with the fan noise. And it's much better now. We'll be playing part 2 tomorrow in the Carolla Classics feed. Make sure you subscribe to the Carolla Classics separate podcast feed, as we have a special Sunday show we release every week. If you're a longtime listener, you already know that. And until then, this is part 1 featuring Jimmy Kimmel from November of 2009. Adam Carolla Show 196.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome back to the podcast, the great Jimmy Kimmel. Good to see you, James.
I think we have a choice as to whether we have to get it on or not.
I cannot make that decision for you, but as for myself, I have no choice.
It becomes rape at a certain point. I'm always interested to see what you'll be wearing when especially here, because you dress like people in a third world who wear whatever's given to them.
Yeah, stuff that the GIs leave behind.
Yeah, because you've got like kind of a nice linen shirt on, a zipper in the front, and a T-shirt under it. But then you've got some odd sweatpants that I'm going to guess you got for free.
I would hope so.
And then ankle-high white socks, which I've never been able to, but really old man, like maybe expensive, like slippers, Italian slippers.
I know.
That right. Look like something like your grandfather would have had.
Well, let me be truthful and tell you what I just did, and then tell you why this is going to sound funny. Jimmy was scheduled to come in this morning and tape this podcast. I was at Jimmy's yesterday, actually it would be 2 days ago on Sunday, And when I was leaving, Jimmy said, hey, man, can we do it at 4 o'clock and instead of doing it at 10 a.m.?
Right. Although right. I never knew about 10 a.m. So.
Oh, well, yeah. You can thank Mike August for that. Who was at your house all day and didn't say a fucking word. But anyway, so you said 4 o'clock. So then I got home and I realized I had this no hate photo shoot that Dr. Drew roped me into.
No hate.
That's the Hollywood community, you know, standing up for the gay community.
You're on that side? Which side are you on?
Oh, no. I'm sure they're never going to develop the film.
Wait a minute. You are. How are you standing up for them?
You know, it's one of those stupid things that Hollywood people, it's like when they sign the petition.
Like you're bending over for them rather than standing up.
Well, it's like signing a petition to get Polanski out of the joint. You know, like it's not going to do anything, but yet you do it. But then people think you're progressive and cool and not filled with hatred and bigotry. So Drew did it, and Drew basically
said you
signed me up for him. Yeah. And then what are you supposed to do? Yeah. I really hate the gays.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I'm pissing into a fire extinguisher right now. I'm going to go down to Ventura and hose some down in the back of a pickup truck with the, you know, with the General Lee flag on the side. Like, so I was like, all right, I'll do it at, I'll do it at 4 o'clock. That was as of a few days ago.
Right.
So then I realized, oh shit, I told Jimmy he's got to do this thing at four, or Jimmy asked if you could do it at 4 o'clock today.
Right.
Then, so I sent you an email.
Right.
And the email said, I got this gay photo shoot to do.
Oh, I thought you meant...
This is where it's going to get funny. This is where it's going to get funny. So I said, I got this gay photo shoot to do at 4 o'clock. Well, can we do it some other time, later, earlier, whatever? Hit send on the email, and the phone rings. It was The Tonight Show, or The Jay Leno Show.
Uh-huh.
Can you fill in for somebody? Somebody's dropped out. I said, what time? 4 o'clock. I said, oh, great, because Jimmy's going to think
you
that
lied
I was
about
bullshitting that he wanted to do it 4, and that I said I could do it at 4, and then they called, and then I said gay photo shoot is a way to skirt saying doing the Jay Leno show, and this is going to be a fucking disaster. And then they called back 10 minutes later and said, we don't need you. Which meant they got Kathy Griffin.
But how does that explain this ensemble? I mean, this is what you ordered the photo shoot?
The ensemble, the photo shoot is a waist up thing. And whenever it's waist up, I always go south, hips down.
You almost go extra out of your way.
I will soil myself if I'm wearing decent jeans there's something I love. The concept of like doing, you know, posing for a portrait from the, you know, chest up in underpants.
Because like Larry King, if you ever go to Larry King's studio, you see him. He wears jeans with his, you know, suspenders and his shirt and his tie and everything. And it looks weird because the jeans are really ironed. You know, they look like they've been starched.
Yes.
It's like an old guy thing.
Yes. Creased jeans.
It's like
I'm
being cool. I'm being casual. But I still got a real element of formal going on.
I argue that, and I think we talked about this before, that old guys wearing jeans that are hip jeans make them look older than just wearing like a jumpsuit or even golf pants.
I agree with you completely. Even when your dad shows up with like a pair of sneakers that aren't white with a generic brand that he found at Target.
Well, who knew that Vans were going to get as popular as they are? And it's so weird to see like a 61-year-old guy wearing Skechers.
Yeah. Like, it is weird, yeah.
It freaks me out. And then somebody should tell them, like, you need to wear those weird beige shoes with the Velcro on them and not the Skechers or the Vans.
Basically,
I don't think they know.
Adult-sized baby shoes is what they start wearing.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's kind of, it's the male equivalent to the old lady who refuses to cut her hair and has the really long hair.
Yeah, although I think that's more of a conscious thing, whereas I think, like, older men will wear whatever shoes they're presented with.
Yeah.
So, like, if your daughter buys you some shoes that she thinks is hip, you know, whatever, you'll look cute in them.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want to look cute. I don't want people, oh, how cute.
Right.
I'm not looking forward to that because I think it's, I don't know, it's demeaning in a way. It's
yeah.
like I can't wear the clothes that other people wear now just because I urinate on myself all the time.
Yeah, just because my shoes are filled with urine.
And maybe that's why they seem thicker.
They do seem more absorbent than a lot of shoes.
They're like wearing marshmallows. Yeah, there's like a big...
Also, I don't know what happened to guys. Maybe it's airport security, but your shoes aren't tied right now. No. People stopped tying their shoes about 7 years ago. Really? I think it was about the time the Unabomber or the Shoe Bomber screwed with us. I'm trying to think.
I don't know. As you know, I never tie my shoes. And the reason I do that is because my foot is very wide, and I can't really – they don't fit very well in regular sneakers, so I just keep them untied. But I think people started when Run DMC didn't have shoelaces in their shoes.
Yeah.
And then it went away because I would get asked – it's funny you say that because – people all the time would say, hey, your shoes are untied. And I go, yeah, I know, I know. And I think I did it to save time when I was on the radio in the morning or something, as if I saved more like 20 seconds, you know. But I started doing it, and people have stopped asking me about it. I don't know if because they're used to it or maybe it's because other people are doing it.
I think it's a combination of trend and just pure intimidation. So I think it's both. But it's also a weird thing, and I really hope that everyone else does this, and I'm not the only just fucking lunatic that does this, but I would put my shoes on early in the morning or almost any time now, and I'd put them on, and I'd go, all right, should you tie them, or should you put that off for later in the day, like when you're in your car at a red light, or some other point when it seems like you have a little bit of downtime. And then a little voice in my head would say, I just tie the shoes. You're down there now. Like, you're putting them on. You're sliding them on your feet. You should tie them now. And then another voice would go, you know what? You don't need to tie them just to walk over to the kitchen and pour a bowl of cereal. Tie them when you want to tie them. That's your business. And I think, really, I'm having a huge wrestling match over tying my shoes.
It's like the angel and the devil on your shoulders, except for neither one of them really has much of an opinion.
But at this age... At this age, do you really think, wouldn't you just bend down and tie your shoes when you put them on? Like, would you really have a deep moral and philosophical battle over when the shoes the only, need to be tied?
Sometimes I think about it. The only time it really hits me is when I think, if I have to run or I wind up in a fight, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to quickly, like, maybe say to the guy, if I'm about, like, hey, hold on 1 second. Let me just tie my shoes and we'll get on with this.
Well, they used to let you take your jacket off.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They in the movies, yes, but junior high school, that jacket move, this kid said, I'm going to take my, he started taking his jacket off, and the other kid just hit him about 30 times in the face while he was taking off his jacket. Wow. And it was kind of diabolical, really.
And there used to be a whole lot of, you wouldn't hit a guy in glasses, would you? Yeah. Humor?
You know what it was? It was... You wouldn't hit a guy in glasses because if you do, his mother's going to kill you, really, I think is what it was attached to.
And now with half the people wearing contacts, you just...
Yeah, 2 for $40 at Lens Crafters. It's like, really, you're going to wait for that?
Well, let me ask you. I saw, apropos of nothing, but I saw Ellen and Oprah just having a... Just like 69ing on skateboard today.
Really?
And they're just having such a love fest, those two. And then I thought, why am I bothered by Ellen? I can't figure out why I'm bothered by her. And I don't have any deep seated hatred for Ellen, but I'm a little bothered by her and I can't figure it out. I know you were on the show last week and I can't tell. I've never met her. So I can't figure out why my spidey sense tingles. I fear that there's a scary person behind the dancing person, just like in Rosie's situation with the, I love David Cassidy and the Chubb Club and Who Wants Another S'more?
Well, all I can say about Ellen is when Rosie was doing her show, you talk to anybody that worked for that show.
Yes.
And they all, she's a monster.
Right.
And in fact, when I went on The View dressed as Rosie,
right,
everyone was absolutely delighted, from the hosts of the show to the entire crew. And that's a good indication of what kind of a person someone is to the people below them. But at Ellen, I know a few people that work there, they have good things to say about Ellen.
Mm-hmm. So they like her.
They like her. So I think she's probably all right. I mean, I think that's the only way you can really get any kind of gauge.
Yeah. What do the privates think about the generals who command them or their CO? But also,
There's a picture, by the way, on our screen of Jimmy dressed as.
And now, there I am dressed as Rosie, although I really look more like my mother.
Your mom would get mad, but you look quite a bit like Joan in that. Yeah.
Oh, no, she would not get mad. Are you kidding me?
Well,
she would be delighted.
All right. Either way.
Every bowel movement has been bronzed and mounted on her.
No, but I just say your mom's attractive. And your dad's nice looking.
I don't know what happened. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, you're not bad looking, but your parents
are better looking.
Yeah, you know they say that thing where like a parent goes, no parent should ever have to bury his child. No child should ever have parents that are better looking than they are. I mean, they never bring that point up, but that's a pretty valid point.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with you. No, I just mean your mom is really attractive and your dad's handsome. You know,
yeah,
and not hunky, but he's a handsome man.
I'm really, if not the, definitely among the worst looking people in my family. You think of them all.
Well, your sister's got a couple extra pounds on her, so I can't.
You
got
to understand though, my sister, she may have a couple extra pounds, but in high school, she was like the best looking girl in the whole school.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So,
I'm sure that makes the reunions that much more delightful for all the guys who couldn't get her in high school.
Yeah. Whereas I was not the best looking girl in the school.
Really? You were like the third?
Something like that.
Top five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big school, though.
My parents are both hideous, so I'm very excited just to be, you know, because that's all people really are looking for out of life.
You are much better looking than your parents.
And my parents are not good looking people.
Yeah, no, you're much better looking than, and your sister's is attractive as well.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell was in the water over there at North Hollywood. Like my dad has a big schnoz on him. Like he has a decent size. Schnozola. You
know, I'm thinking about it now, and I think what it is your parents aren't so interested, it seems like, maybe in their appearance. Like, they're not dyeing their hair and getting styled. Like, your mom is not. So maybe that's what it is that your mom's not doing what the typical woman of her age is doing. She's not affected by that sort of thing.
No, but she was ugly when I was a kid.
Hey, you want to know what's funny? I had a moment where I started worrying, like, oh, maybe they're listening. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Of course they're not listening.
No.
These are Adam's parents. My parents will hear this. Your parents will not.
Listen, Dad, I'm coming over tonight to stab you. It doesn't matter. It's just kind of liberating.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, definitely.
It's like they're dead, except for you see them for Thanksgiving. Now, my dad knows he's all nose and forehead anyway, so he never claimed to be attractive. My mom, she hasn't.
How did you wind up tall with your parents?
I don't know. Like I feel like, first off, my dad is like, you know, small.
He's a little
and just
Italian
meek
guy.
I don't know. My mom's got some height on her side. I can't figure it out.
Adam's the first one in his family to actually exercise.
Yeah, but that doesn't give you height.
Well, yes, you were eating like a madman, and you were exercising. I mean, your entire childhood.
All right, but let me say something,
Donnie. My brother's taller than me. That's because he skateboarded, did basketball, baseball.
No.
Donnie, my brother's taller than me, too, but there's no...
Donnie has a lot of
my,
retarded theories about how his
Donnie, why is a cloud of smoke coming out whenever you open the door?
Excuse me.
Let me tell you something I find sad. Come back here, Donnie. Let me tell you something I find sad.
Donnie?
Yes. Oh. No, and aside from that, no, just about life and in general in life, because Donnie has barely owns a pair of tennis shoes. Like, I've never, seeing Donnie exercise would have been like seeing the Fonz exercise, what I mean? Like, the Fonz wore boots, Levi's, and a leather jacket. You never saw him on a treadmill or an elliptical or wearing shorts and, you know, New Balance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, impossible. And Donnie is like the Fonz.
Yeah, like, if Donnie showed up in, like, running shoes, you'd be like, what is this? What are you doing? It would be like a Halloween costume.
Here's the thing that is unfair about the universe and God and everyone else, and nature and everything else. Donnie has done less exercise than any person I've ever met.
Wait. I have my secret workout.
I know, but you really never played a sport. You played your dad's
sport. It's not a secret anymore. You're supposed to pull the blinds down.
And going for the hat trick in front of the U-Porn monitor is hardly a workout. Then let me say this. You've never been involved with athletics.
No.
We lived together for a couple of years. You never said I'm going out for a run or Thursday nights, my racquetball night or
not
anything.
Twice.
I've never seen you fucking move the entire time. You've never seen Donnie with a shirt that even had sweat under the armpits or anything. Like, he's never broken a sweat in his life. Okay. Also, you just pretty much went to Carney's and ate chili fries like the entire time I lived with you.
Up to about 5-10 years
ago. Yeah, you've consumed as much or more junk food than just about anyone I know and have done almost no exercise. Okay. I, on the other hand, started playing Pop Warner football at age 7. By the time I was in high school, I had like a rope around my waist, and I was dragging a truck tire up and down the fucking thing. Later on, when I got into boxing, it was just countless hours on the heavy bag and speed bag and skipping, 2 million hours of rope skipping, everything else. All right, here's what I'm getting to. If I took my shirt off right now and Donnie took his shirt off right now and we just stood next to each other, you could tell no fucking discernible difference between us at all. We look exactly the same. Neither one of us looks good. Neither one of us looks bad. You couldn't tell.
As far as our exercise regimen.
You wouldn't know who the guy who did 200,000 push-ups and did 200,000 wind sprints in high school and played 10 years of football and skipped rope and beat the shit out of the heavy bag and did all that shit, and who's the guy who sat around, smoked weed, and ate Carney's chili fries. You would, we're the same age, you just look at us both now, have zero idea. Both look exactly the same. Oh, is that fucking fair?
That would have been a great concept for the gay photo shoot, you know?
Yeah, Donnie and I with our shirts off next to each other. But does that seem fair?
How about me? Never mind that. I mean, you kidding me? I never get out of the gym.
I know. I'm just saying, I've seen Donnie with his shirt off. He doesn't look any different than I look with my shirt off, which is just like neither one of us ever done anything.
Yeah.
Sad. It's just sad. That's all
it
is.
Yeah, it's not sad for Donnie.
No, it's fucking awesome for Donnie. I'm sure his heart looks like that clear container of jerky at the 7-Eleven. But I look, but that's who cares about what's on the inside?
That's right.
So it's on the outside. So you're saying Ellen. Ellen is
that's the longest boomerang ever thrown.
Ellen is fine.
She seems fine. She seems fine to me. Let me tell you, Howard Stern said something on Monday morning that I thought was very interesting and hilarious about Ellen. Mm. He said, it was just a little joke he said about Ellen. He said, it was some analogy like, somebody saying this is like Ellen telling us she's gay. It's like, of course she's gay. She comes out dressed like a man and everyone goes crazy when she dances.
Right.
<That's> like, it's a funny little thing. Like, everyone goes crazy. Yeah, because like when my cousin Sal dances, everyone thinks it's funny and excited. Right. But, and his wife dances, like, all right, well, whatever.
And the thing, now I have this thing, and maybe this is just a comedic chip on my shoulder. I think Ellen is funny, but not as funny as everyone else. Like, she gets a serious ass licking, like, all the time. Like, every time her name comes up on, like, Entertainment Tonight, or it's like, oh, she's my favorite. Like, she's everyone's favorite. Like, I've never seen one of these shows, and I know these shows are just sort of ass kiss-a-thons, but I've never seen Ellen's name or heard Ellen's name come up and have someone go, eh. Like, she's all right. And I think she's all right. Like, I think she's funny, but so are a lot of other people. But
you
they don't want to be called a bigot.
You know what I think you're getting to also, though, is that you and I are not appreciated enough.
That's what it is. I think that's what it is.
I think that's the root of all of it. Because I don't think Oprah's thinking about that. I don't think Oprah has those thoughts. It's like, what's with this Ellen? She's fine. I mean, but let's not get crazy.
That's my feeling. My feeling is, if you go, yes, A, we're not appreciated enough. B, I saw Mr. Wrong, or whatever her movie was, and it was like, well, that wasn't a very funny movie. And then C, people think, if they think Ellen isn't funny, or they say to people Ellen isn't funny, they'll be perceived as uptight or
homophobic
or whatever it is.
Donnie, do you want to attempt some phone calls? Was that the sign you were holding up that I couldn't read?
This is our new phone system, Jimmy. You're going to break
good.
It.
How come I'm
happens?
Always here on the days you're experimenting with technology?
Somebody from Brad from New Orleans has a call for us. You going to try to work this out, Donnie? Brad?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well.
That's great. I had a question for Jimmy, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Jimmy, I'd like to know if you ever did anything to Adam to exact revenge for the coffee can incident.
Oh, where he... Well, first of all, it was such a brilliant tactical move that I appreciated it. I did not blame him for one second for doing it. If people don't know, Adam tricked me into, he's like, oh, smell this coffee. It smelled one. He had farted into the can. And so I grabbed the can and inhaled just pure shit air into my lungs, and it went all through my body. And I didn't realize it until I had breathed it all in.
Two quick things about ass and, putting your, sort of invoking your ass upon other people's nostrils and things like that. You can fart all you want around people, but you really can't make them fully ingest it.
You can't force them to
breathe it through their nose, number one. And number two, coffee's a weird thing. When you tell people, hey, smell this cheese, they'll do it sort of tentatively. But if you tell them coffee, they'll bury their face into the can.
Because some cheese smells bad, and coffee's never smelled bad.
I will also say, though, that...
You don't really get that's not right. It wouldn't be fair to get revenge because Adam's not a big prankster, and I probably had done 80 things to him leading up to that moment. So really, that was probably revenge, if you want to call it that, for something else. Yeah. But I mean, we've had near rape type situations. Like, remember what I did to you when we shot that bit at the beauty salon at the Man Show?
Oh yeah,
you were laying naked face down on this. On this table, and they had this like vat of very, very hot mud, and Adam's just laying on his stomach, and he can't get up because cameras are rolling, and he's naked. And I start packing lava hot mud into your ass.
Yeah,
and really, like the only thing that cooled it off was my tears landing on your ass and sizzling as they hit it. Yeah,
there's a lot of those situations. I'd say most of those situations where you go, you think, oh, okay, I'll get naked, and I'll get on my belly, and I'll get in front of these strangers, and then you realize as the hot lava mud is being packed into your ass, you think, well, of course, this is going to happen. Like, of course,
why would I think anything other than this? Yeah, realize it's your own fault.
When we convinced my buddy Carl to jump out of the car naked on Ventura Boulevard and go hit the button so the traffic light would change, and then we took off.
Yeah.
And left him standing nude on Ventura Boulevard. He had to be thinking,
stand there nodding.
Of course, course. Like if you didn't take off, I would have jumped in the car and pressed the accelerator for you. Like, but it doesn't dawn on you until you're, well, you, it dawns on because you have, you're like, one of those movies where they go, we have to go talk to Dr. Lecter to catch the serial killer.
Right, exactly.
Because Wild Bill is on the loose and we have to talk to Lecter. You have to think like a serial killer to catch a serial killer. I think we have Derek on the phone right now. Derek?
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
How are you?
Good.
Thanks to you guys.
Thanks.
Now, I know you guys are really into football. It's a ritual every Sunday. I'm watching the Broncos get a field goal here. Who do you got in tonight's game, Broncos or Steelers?
By the way, I go to Jimmy's and get drunk, and Jimmy's cooking almost the entire time.
No one sees less football than me.
Yes.
I really barely see any of the games. But I tell you something, I don't know. By the time this airs, that game will have been over, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But an interesting thing happened last weekend. Really some out-of-character events, and I decided not to have football on Sunday, which I rarely do because we're down at Cousin Sal's house for a Halloween party, and he's down by the beach, and I figured, I don't know, I'd get up and, you know, drive all the way there and cook and all this stuff. So I said, you know what, football's canceled this weekend. And Adam said, oh, you know what, I got a bar down in my house. I can have the game, and we'll have people over for football. Right. What happened?
How many people showed up?
Yeah.
Zero.
Mike August.
Oh, Mike August. Yeah, I thought Mike August was there for another event.
No, no, he was there. By the way, he was there for football. Well, he was there for both, but he was planning to come. Yeah.
Oh, he's the only person that showed up.
But here's the thing: number one, he was shocked that you had food.
Yeah, I went to Trader Joe's and bought dip and, you know, yeah, chips and everything.
I think everyone was shocked by that. And I think, yeah, if you'd announced that up front, it would have been, because I think people thought it was going to be usual Adam party, like, hey, by the way, bring your own cup, because, yeah, there's none by the hose, but the hose will be open and available. Yeah.
I went to Trader Joe's. I probably cursed it, because I went to Trader Joe's. I bought, like, you know, 2 cases of beer and 2 cases of soda and a bunch of, like, blue corn chips and all that shit. And then nobody showed up.
Yeah. Part of it is because everyone was at Sal's house drunk till, like, 2 o'clock in the morning on Halloween.
I'm sure. I was fine. There was a couple of people there that were from a previous event. I know this sounds cryptic and weird. And just spilled into the TV room.
I see.
And we ended up just watching it anyway. Although I do and did miss Dickie, that is Dickie Barrett from the Boss Tones, tending bar. Because he would literally hop behind the bar at, yeah, those events and tend bar,
well,
which was an
do
old
it.
Gig
You're just going to have to figure out some more TVs. I think that's a problem.
I know.
For everybody.
Everybody's spoiled. Jimmy has a 103-inch television.
We're hoping, though, with exercise that it grows.
And a bunch of Donnie. And a bunch of computer. Donnie, one day when you have time, you can explain to Jimmy why your brother is bald and you have a healthy head of hair. Because this is another one. He doesn't use shampoo.
I don't use shampoo, and my brother showers 2 times a day, every day.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah, that's what killed, yeah, his follicles.
You ever see bums without hair?
According, well, I do.
Never see a bald bum.
Hey, I was saying this about bums, and, you know, my feeling, bums, yeah, it's true. Hair down to their waist, beards down to here, always layered, you know, holding cardboard, sleeping in cardboard. Hey, if you guys don't want to be lit on fire, quit begging for it. You know what I mean? You guys, I'm not even a weird teenager, and that's all I can do not to flick a cigarette at you guys when I walk past you. Like, you are begging to be set ablaze.
Maybe they want to be set ablaze. Maybe they've had enough. Yeah, I mean, what kind of a life is this?
Get some cycling shorts and a wife beater and see how often you're set ablaze. And get yourself, like, a Flowbee and some cycling shorts, and I bet you'd almost never be set ablaze. And if you were, you could put yourself out almost immediately. Instead of wearing, like, 3 army jackets and having a huge Santa Claus beard.
I believe that, and I know this is horrible, but the smell of some, not just homeless people. Remember we encountered George Clinton of Parliament Funkadelic, sure, in the lobby of that hotel? Some people are combustible just by the nature of their smell. Just that alone, any kind of static electricity in the air turn you into a ball of flame.
Well, not only that, but, you know, there is a sort of part of your brain that's, you know, small and 2 million years old and reptilian, and there is a part of you that goes, who, what, like, I just want that smell to go away.
Yeah, it's the reason we burn corpses.
Yeah, and it's the reason you light a match after you take a shit.
Yeah.
Although Jimmy will tell you a good tip on that, by the way.
You're swallow the match.
No, your match tip. You put it out.
Oh, yeah, you put it out. That's, yeah, you put it out. That's what actually gets rid of the smell.
Right.
When you wave the match, you don't throw it right. You don't light it and throw it into the toilet. You blow it out or whatever and let the smoke.
I used to do this thing where I was like a Brendan Fraser in a pyramid looking for a mummy, where I would hold the match out over my head and try to kind of move it around in a circular fashion.
I
to
do
burn
that,
up the stake.
Once it's burned out.
Put it out.
Yeah, you put it out.
All right.
That clip from 2009 featuring Adam and Jimmy Kimmel. Love whenever those two get together.
Yeah,
right.
It's just Radio Death whenever they're on air together. Just, you know, Jimmy's more behind the scenes guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's nice that Adam let Jimmy talk for a little bit. And
very, put, very charitable of him.
Have
very
a spotlight charitable. Placed upon him, yeah. All right, that'll do it for part one of today's episode. But stick around, part two coming up next.
Do you own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.